Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Schoep.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. As you just heard, the Americans held on. It was tense. There was even a review. What would have been worse? But what would have been worse? 1-0 USA over Iran, about 100 minutes with all the injury time and stoppage time. Christian Pulisic gets the goal. He did not get a celebration because he was injured on the play and did not play in the second half. We'll see what his status is. Joining us now on the Wester Hotline, Sam Monson of PFF. Sam, are you into World Cup?
Not as much as I would be if Ireland was in it. But yeah, you know, reasonable amount.
I mean, it's funny to me, it's great to me that and I'm sure I have much company in like being pretty or even very casual about soccer, but man, I buy this thing the whole way, like emotionally. We're sitting here the first hour of the show, could barely concentrate. That's me anyway, watching the game. I love how like somehow this event does that, and others do too, but really like I go from not knowing anybody on the team to just being completely obsessed with it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great event. It's one of those few things where the whole world really is playing it. And once you get to this stage, you're talking about, in theory, the best of the best. And it really does give everybody a chance to get massively invested if your nation is there. Like Ireland has sucked at football for a while. But 2002, I think, was the last World Cup we were at. And that was a pretty phenomenal World Cup for us, and a weird one because a lot of the big teams got knocked out early, and there was all of a sudden a pathway for Ireland to actually go quite far. But yeah, it's like the World Cup is awesome.
Right on. All right, let's get to American football here, Sam. So it's been since last Thursday, Thanksgiving, since the Bills played, looking more ahead to Thursday night as they go again on a Thursday here this week at New England. I'm always looking at the spreads and the futures odds, Sam, to try to take some cue as to what, you know, the public is thinking, what bettors are thinking about the Bills. And I sense, I'm not sure like how that way you are, but I sense that maybe there's some concern about this team. And I think it's in the fan base too. How about you? We've all been so impressed and confident about the Bills. Are you still at that same level?
I still think they're one of the best teams in the NFL. Potentially losing Von Miller long-term, I think, is a real blow. I think he had a real transformative effect on that pass rush, on that defense. I think part of what he brought will still live on. You know, he affected those young guys in more than just what he brought to the table on the field. I think he helped them off the field. I think he helped them sort of coaching them up almost, you know, by osmosis and just by being around those guys. I think that kind of thing will probably still have an effect even when Von Miller isn't there. But, you know, injuries are one of those things that can torpedo any team's Super Bowl push. And then, of course, the other aspect is Josh Allen has been more mistake-prone this year than he's been in the last couple of years. And whether it's all down to this UCL injury or whether it's something that was happening anyway and it's coincidental with that timing, it is a problem. I mean, the losses this year have almost directly been attached to Josh Allen's mistakes. The Lions game, I think, was closer than it should have been because of Josh Allen mistakes. You know, those are, I think there's a very fine line between, you know, him being the best player and rightly sort of looking to him anytime there's a critical situation and there being too much weight on his shoulders and him feeling that he needs to make the play every single time, which is potentially causing some of these errors.
You know, it's funny, like paying attention to the commentary on Thursday, I think a lot of Bills fans felt like Josh Allen told Tony Romo the elbow's bothering him more than he's let on to everyone else. That's how Tony Romo sounded to my ears. I don't know how closely you were paying attention to like the commentary on that game, but it just felt to me like, you know, if a Bills fan was thinking, oh, well, he's getting better probably, Thursday might have given you some pause in that area simply because of how Romo sounded about it.
Yeah, maybe. I also think Tony Romo is like acutely attuned to every injury that a quarterback has ever suffered because he dealt with all of them. So, you know, a lot of the times the second a quarterback gets an injury, you'll hear Tony Romo start giving you chapter and verse on what that is and what it means and, you know, how to navigate it and all those kinds of things. So I think there's a pretty good chance that Tony Romo was just projecting a little bit to Josh Allen. But you're right, it's possible. Like, whether or not he told Tony Romo it's worse than it is, or whether or not Romo just knows what dealing with that kind of injury is like for a quarterback, it is the type of injury, I think, that generally causes a lot of problems for an athlete, not just a quarterback, but, you know, athletes in other sports. So the chances that it isn't affecting him in any way, shape, or form, I would say, are pretty minimal.
The good news in that department is that this is the first week where he's practiced fully, both like all the days that they practiced, he's been fully involved. So there's no resting or skipping reps or any of that stuff, at least if the injury report's to be trusted, and I feel like I want to assume that it is. So maybe that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if he can be healthy, that's obviously the first step towards trying to figure out if he is playing at a slightly different way this season, or if he's just been on a run of poor decisions, maybe to compensate for the elbow.
With Sam Monson of PFF here on WGR, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Well, not every mistake, as you put it, is on a risky play. I mean, some are on more basic plays, but I feel like, you know, we're just trying to find some balance here, and Allen is trying to find a balance here, and I think the Cleveland game, this was demonstrated between being efficient and being careful, but also being Josh Allen and making enough plays to win his team games. And maybe that balance is the key to all this, Sam.
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think it's a very difficult balance to hit when the quarterback is a guy like Josh Allen, because by his nature, you don't want him playing just a game managing style of quarterback. You know, he brings different things to the table. He brings a level of special to the table, and that's why he's worth what he's worth. That's why he's as good as he is. It's like, you know, if Patrick Mahomes suddenly developed the yips and started making a couple of weird decisions, and those Brett Favre plays that he makes throwing the ball back across his body into the middle of the field, if he went on a run of throwing, you know, four or five interceptions doing that, you can't stop him doing it because that's what makes Patrick Mahomes Mahomes. So I think for a guy like Allen, if all of a sudden he starts making a few bad decisions, it's kind of just something you have to live with, because the trade-off to that is all the special plays that he's making as well. And he's still making those, by the way. Like, that's part of this, is that the great Josh Allen hasn't disappeared. He's still making ridiculous plays at an incredible level. It's just the mistakes have ramped up, and maybe that's a transient thing. Maybe that's just a run he's going through at the moment and it's going to come and go. But if it doesn't, that's where I think they run into some problems.
Sam, we spent some time already, you know, it's early in the week, only Tuesday, but we had, you know, extra time with the Bills playing on Thursday, talking about the receiving corps. And it's been a subject really all year, and even in the off season, like what, you know, do they have enough there? Is Davis going to take a step? We know Diggs is great, but they lost Beasley, Sanders. Now they bring John Brown back, and you know, he's on the practice squad for now, but that feels like a flare going up from one Bills drive saying, like, we don't have enough here. Tanner Gentry dressed for the Thanksgiving Day game, Allen's old teammate from Wyoming. I don't know, what are your thoughts on the way that the year has gone at that position for them? Because there really has been, it's been more reliant on Diggs than it's ever been.
Yeah, and that I think is the problem. It's Diggs is spectacular, but you look just at the drop off in even in just targets between Diggs and the next player on the Bills, and it's massive. It's just it's so much bigger than it should be. It's you know Diggs has 115 targets this season. The next highest guy is Gabriel Davis at 59. So it's almost half what Diggs has in target rate. And then, you know, there's a bunch of guys at 40, 40, 30, 30. Like, it's too reliant on one guy. And anytime that's the case, it can be successful and it can be really good. But if defenses know that they only have to figure out how to stop one guy, and then all immediately, even if the Bills are able to adjust, you're forcing a huge adjustment because they're not used to loading up Gabriel Davis or Isaiah McKenzie or Dawson Knox or whoever with that volume of targets. So if you're able to eliminate Diggs from the game plan, which is doable, you know, you can take away one receiver, admittedly, you know, at the cost of other things, but you can force them to go somewhere else with the football. If a team does that, they know that they are forcing a massive adjustment in plan A to plan B for the Bills. And I think in an ideal world, it would be a smaller pivot. You know, they would have a secondary target that was getting much more involved in the general course of the game plan. And I think that was supposed to be Gabriel Davis this year. And it hasn't really worked out that way. He's more effective this year than he was last year, but it hasn't sort of jumped up to being that clear secondary guy opposite Diggs. And nobody else has either. So they're kind of missing that one. I think they have number one and they have a couple of number threes. There's nobody taking that number two role right now.
His numbers look a little different, Davis, from this game against Detroit than almost any other game. They brought him closer to the line of scrimmage for his targets. Like, Davis has been this low catch rate, down 20 yards per play kind of player. You're not going to get a lot of volume, but you are going to get, you know, big plays if you hit him. But in this game, I mean, 4 for 38 is not a Gabriel Davis stat line against the Lions at all. On 5 targets, so he was even efficient in this game. We'll see if that becomes a trend. Do you have a quick thought, Sam, on what if Von Miller were not to return this year, that would mean? You made such a great observation with us after they beat Kansas City. Like, even if he makes those plays against Mahomes on first down, who knows if they even end up meaning anything. But the timing and the excellence there, that gave us all sort of visions of being able to handle Mahomes in a future meeting.
Yeah, I mean, it would be huge. There's no way around that. Like, he has 45 pressures this year. The next highest guy on the team has 23. It's another giant drop-off. I think he is the best pass rusher on this team, and he changed the whole dynamic. Even his addition changed that Buffalo defense significantly. You take him out of the lineup, it isn't the same. You know, a guy like Gregory Rousseau, I think, is playing really well this year, but it isn't the same as having Rousseau and Von Miller. So, it would be a massive blow to them, particularly against those best teams where you have to try and figure out something special to stop Patrick Mahomes, particularly the groove that he's in right now with Travis Kelce. It's so hard to combat that, and a guy like Von Miller is capable of showing up with those key plays and key moments that just does change the entire script. So I think if they did lose him for the remainder of the year, it would be, you know, a real body blow to how much or how what chances they have of, you know, going on a run, knocking off the best teams, and ultimately winning a Super Bowl.
There obviously is no silver lining to losing Von Miller, even if it's not for the whole year, if it's just for, you know, a few weeks here. But the good news is, Sam, I mean, when he got hurt on Thanksgiving, I'm sitting in my living room thinking, all right, Rousseau's already out, Epines is already out. Like, where am I? Am I combing waiver wires for defensive ends here? Practice squad elevations, but Rousseau and Epines both are practicing fully, and at least they're getting reinforcements there with guys that weren't available the last week or two.
Yeah, and the other thing about, you know, all this sort of crisis discussions about the Bills, they've been a really banged-up team this year. Like, they, I think, have the best roster in the NFL top to bottom, but at no point in the season have we been dealing with a full deck. Like, from the very start, obviously, Tre'Davious White wasn't there. The entire secondary has missed time at some point. You know, as you said, like, most of their pass rushers have missed time. This has not been a group that has stayed tremendously healthy, but so far, at least, they've generally avoided everybody sort of being done for the year. They've just missed a lot of time from a lot of players, but the chances of most of them still being available, you know, once you roll around to postseason football and get to the crunch games, are still reasonable. I think if that holds true, the Bills are still in a good spot. Like, if they can expect the majority of this roster to be playing in January, then I think they're still good.
We've talked about Mac Jones a few times this year, Sam, and I think of you not exactly talking him up, but not either with the persistent narrative that he's been really terrible for New England. Where are you at on, so I don't have to misstate your position, where are you at on Jones going into this game against the Bills?
Yeah, he hasn't had a good season at all, and hasn't really looked like the same player. I think it's not all his fault, and I'm not even sure the majority of it is his fault this year. The change from Josh McDaniels to the current coaching setup, I think, has been pretty crippling to that offense generally and to Mac Jones specifically. But the game against Minnesota on Thanksgiving was the best game we've seen from him in a long time. Certainly this year, probably for the majority of last season as well, like, that was the best version of Mac Jones we've seen in a long time. So was that just a blip? Did he just have one good game? Or is Mac Jones going to go on a run and show that actually he is more like the guy we thought he was early last season? So, you know, I think Jones is capable of being a pretty good quarterback, but the situation around him when it comes to coaching and the offense and the scheme is not great this year.
How about how it went for Mike White, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty spectacular. His coach summed it up. Robert Saleh said that Mike White made the easy stuff look easy. And that was really the biggest thing that Zach Wilson wasn't doing. Forget the big plays and the crazy stuff and the Mahomes and Josh Allen type high end. Like, just take the layoffs. And that's what he wasn't doing. Whereas Mike White comes in and is able to deliver the ball to Garrett Wilson and to Elijah Moore and to their playmakers, and just watch as Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson rather, makes a cut and outruns the Bears defense for a touchdown. So I think Mike White played well, but I think his numbers are indicative of, like, the rest of the talent on that Jets offense, and the fact that all he has to do is really just be a facilitator and they'll put up numbers and points.
How significant was Sunday for the Bengals, you think, Sam? Like, I was really impressed with them. I haven't taken them as being on the top tier in the AFC or in the league. In Tennessee, for that matter, really isn't that either. But I was impressed that the Bengals sort of out-physicaled maybe the most physical team in the conference in their own place. I was impressed with the Bengals Sunday. How about you?
Yeah, not just Sunday, but I think this run without Jamar Chase has been really important for the Bengals. They were so reliant on Jamar Chase, and then when he went down, not only have they won without him, but they've won in a variety of different ways without him. You know, they struggled that first game, and then it was Joe Mixon, and then Mixon went down, and then it was T. Higgins in back-to-back weeks. And the Bengals are a lot of people that had always talked up T. Higgins as being, you know, he's the number one receiver on most offenses, but we have Jamar Chase, so he's just another guy that we have that can destroy teams. And you're like, yeah, but is that really true, or is that what a guy looks like when Jamar Chase is the other receiver? And for the last couple of weeks, he had to be the number one guy, and he was able to go out there and win one-on-one and win a bunch of contested catches and stayed a good case for being a true number one receiver. So I think that was really important for Cincinnati to show that they can win games when they don't have Jamar Chase, let alone when teams take him away, and they can do it in a couple of different ways.
They have a really interesting schedule to finish out Cincinnati. Home to Kansas City this Sunday, home to Cleveland and Watson, at Tampa, at the Patriots, home to the Bills, and home to the Ravens. How about that home schedule at alone? Just Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens all on it. They're in position, you know, if they can win four or five of those games, you know, that might be enough to win the division. We will see on Cincinnati. All right,
yeah,
Sam.
I mean, there might be no team that will get a better read on by the end of the season than Cincinnati simply by the teams that they've played.
Right. Anything on the Dolphins real quick before we go? I mean, that was Houston this week. Now they go to San Francisco. That's a great one.
Yeah, I'm really concerned that they lost Teron Armstead, though, at left tackle. He not only is he one of the best left tackles in the league, but the drop-off to him and or between him and the next guy you know, if they have to go to Brandon Schell at left tackle, that just is not a viable game plan, particularly against a guy like Nick Bosa. So this is part of the equation when you sign a Teron Armstead. I don't think he's ever made it through a 16-game schedule in his NFL career. Certainly, if he's done it, it's only once. So you know you're going to miss a couple of games from him, and it's already happened once this season. If he's out for any period of time, I think that really upsets the apple cart for that Miami offense.
Very good, Sam. Great conversation with you. We'll always enjoy it. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Sam Monson of PFF, at PFF underscore Sam. All right. How concerned are you out there about an 8-3 Bills team favored to win in Foxborough? The new normal. 803-0550 is the number. Sal Capaccio at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Yeah, very good defense, much like Coach Belichick has groomed there for years. Very good defense. They're stout in stopping the run. They do a lot of things in the back end with their...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In the various and multiple ways they play man coverage, and they've got a really good secondary. Obviously, McCourty's back there, and he's been back there for a long time, and just a veteran leader and plays a lot of good football back there, whether it's run game, pass game, extremely smart. You know, they've got a very good defense.
Sean McDermott, Bills at Patriots Thursday night. We'll have the pregame show Thursday. Ross Tucker, Eric Wood and Chris Brown on the roundtable. Sal probably twice. Should be fun.
Sounds like the usual suspects. Yep.
Mac Jones, 69% in 8 games this year, 8 starts. 6 touchdown passes to 7 picks. That doesn't look good. 6 touchdown passes. Who does he think he is? Russell Wilson? Doesn't Joe Mixon have 6 touchdown passes? Come on. Come on, Mac.
Cole Beasley had 6 touchdown passes the one year, I think.
John Brown.
Yeah.
Got to find the last 6 Bills to throw touchdown passes that were not quarterbacks. Or we don't. We don't have to do that.
I'm not gonna.
I like Stevenson. I got to stay on brand here and say he's a running back, so big deal.
He's a big punishing dude, though. He's tough. He is a tough, you know. You can separate the, it doesn't matter who your running back is, for, you know, in the big scheme of things, and just watch a guy and be like, damn, like that's, that is impressive. He is a hard runner.
He also leads them in receptions, like not just the running backs, the whole team.
Yeah.
50 catches. I mentioned this yesterday, like they had James White for so many years for the Patriots playing that role. And it, you know, was his job going into this season. He had to retire. They weren't sure. We weren't sure, I guess, whether James White was going to make it. And so that would seem to have capped what Stevenson's potential output could be or anyone else's. But then when White retired, he couldn't get back from a hip injury. Then it was, you know, green light special for this guy.
Right. And now Harris is injured, right?
Harris is injured, probably out, not practicing, which would set it up for a full Stevenson workload, if that's what they want to do. They drafted another couple guys.
I was going to say, is there a guy or two we've never heard of?
They've used J.J. Taylor a little bit. He's not a rookie. They have Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong, who are both rookies. I don't know what they would do. They had Ty Montgomery, but did he go to IR? I'm not sure. All right, here is Brian with us. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. So your question, Mike, earlier about, you know, what is it, maybe some ideas, it reminded me of what Jeremy Apolli put up a couple days ago, where it was, is it Josh Allen's elbow? Is it the OC, or is it roster construction or nothing at all? And I just kind of close my eyes and think about, what do the Bills look like on offense, generally most games? And for me, the first thing I see is our right tackle gets burned immediately. Josh has to move off of his spot, so he's running around. Dawson Knox is not used over the middle at all, so he doesn't catch anything in stride. He's used as a dump-off option near the sideline, so he's always having to dive for balls. Gabe Davis on the outside of the numbers, coming on his typical comeback route on a contested catch that he sometimes catches and sometimes doesn't. You don't see any McKenzie drags or flare routes, so he's kind of a gadget player. Or if he gets down the field on, again, a broken play, that's where you'll see him. And so I think it leads to everything being very dependent on Stephon Diggs. And so it's kind of, to me, a chaotic offense. And it's Josh's elite talent that keeps you in the conversation with the Chiefs. But it's not OC schematics or great play design. You know, you watch simple plays near the goal line for the Chargers. They just motion Keenan Allen across, and Herbert dumps it to him right at the goal line. Easy touchdown. You see this again with Austin Eckler late in the game. The Bills don't have anything easy like that. And so if I had to rank it, bringing it back around to the original point, I think it's roster construction one, OC two, and then a very distant third is Josh's elbow. Because, say, on that 90-yard drive, when he does take the checkdowns and when he's forced to make the decisions, when he has to have it, those throws are there. But I just think it's a very inconsistent offense, and we're trending towards the 2018 to 2021 Green Bay Packers, where it's Devontae Adams and nothing else. That's what it looks like to me.
Okay. Thank you.
I think that every word of that to me is valid, how the caller laid it out. I mean, maybe a bit of an exaggeration on – I mean, McKenzie just had maybe his best game of the year in Detroit, 9 catches, I think. And a touchdown, so they found their way to him some. But I've been thinking for a while. I've said a few times, like, the easy throws that I think they got credit for, sort of just scheming open, right? And I think play action or motion, especially, is a key to this, or was a key to this in Daboll's offense. Like, that it moves the defense around in a way that it leads to, like, here's where your easy throw is going to be. Like, whatever they do, their personnel does, when the motion comes past, and that's going to tell you where to go. And it just doesn't look to me, like, I'm not studying film, need I point that out, but it just feels to me like a lot of that stuff isn't there. It seems, everything seems harder. And I don't know, that can be perception. We all know Daboll left. You want to be optimistic about Dorsey and not hang everything on him. So I'm not, like, there's a reason I'm not screaming about it every day, because I'm not 100% confident, but it just seems like a lot of that, the layup stuff is missing. And maybe that's, a lot of it was Beasley. I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of targets that are not going to that part of the field anymore.
It's tough. I mean, there are always going to be multiple factors, and a lot of them here have been mentioned already. It's also the way teams in general around the league are playing defense, and other teams are having, to varying degrees, their own challenges in just taking — the Bills made it look so easy the last 2 years, throwing the ball deep, medium to deep, anytime they wanted, and it was just like open, and they're just torching teams running up and down the field. And like, that is harder this year league-wide. Teams have moved to a place where they're more willing to give you the running game that you don't want. The caller mentioned the Chargers. The Chargers play defense that way, and they don't hide from it. They don't, deny it. Their coach is a defensive coach from the Bears and the Rams, I think, Staley, and he wants you to run the ball. Now, they're not winning a lot of games, but he wants, that's his own question, he wants you to run the ball so that you don't pick up 15, 20 yards a pop like that, or I don't get an illegal contact penalty or defensive holding, all that sort of gray area stuff that just starts drives over or keeps them going. So I don't want to be as harsh as Brian, the caller, is about what they are on offense. Where do they rank? I mean, they're up there. Not every, you know, every one of those points to me was a little bit exaggerated. Around the red zone, I mentioned to Sal yesterday, like, fun to have a brainstorming session about this, or you and you today. Like, just what do we want to do? When the caller mentions those Charger plays, okay, that's Kansas City for me. Kansas City is amazing close to the end zone. Underhand passes, you know, snaps to the tight end. Like, just
it seems like anybody else tries that stuff. Like the little shovel pass thing down at the goal line, it just looks
terrible.
Right? I mean, it doesn't help when you're throwing it to a fullback like the Steelers did last night. But still, it just looks, I don't know. Is it because you feel like they're trying to imitate the Chiefs? I don't think it's that. It just doesn't look as – it doesn't flow. They're not as good at it. Like, the Chiefs are just really good. I'm honing this into, like, one specific thing, those little shovel passes. But in general, it's true. Like, they are very sharp down there. And, you know, not many teams are like that, it seems. And the Bills are having their struggles this year down there.
They need Allen to be the running force that he has been throughout. And I expect that will return. Without that, we've said it over and over, without that, what are you going to do to make up for those plays? You've got to hit McKenzie or Davis on 3rd and 8 for 9 yards or for 11 yards or Knox. Or, you know, if Allen is not going to run for it, unless, you know, game is on the line or it's a, you know, sort of a desperation situation, if he's not going to run for it, then, well, I'm not going to hand the ball off and expect to get it. I'm not going to do as well on those plays as Kansas City or even Miami is doing. Like, they are hitting that kind of route with more regularity. And, you know, Mahomes is the best, so okay. And that's not exactly where Allen beats you. Allen, his greatness is not in threading those needles and moving the chains and all this quite to the same extent. You're still talking about elite. But he needs, Sam said it, like, he needs the big ones. He needs the other stuff. And then the runs of his complement that so well. The defenses want, the Bills might be the best example in the league for this, even better than Kansas City. Defenses want you to hand the ball off and make you beat them that way. And it's just harder. Like, that's that adjustment is overdue, in my opinion. Like, it's just harder to do that. And I don't know that the Bills are inclined to really turn into a different kind of team. I wouldn't recommend that they do. They've just got to, Allen has got to find that balance again between when going for those big plays goes too far. And that's really tough to sort of lay out because every play is so different and there's split-second decisions and we don't even get to see everything he is and certainly know everything he knows about a given play. So hang in there. Like, I know people are more concerned than they were, but I think that Allen stuff, whether it's an injury or not, like that will come back. And teams aren't any closer to stopping him physically than they were.
Yeah. I'm encouraged by the way. I know they had to battle for their win in Detroit, but the big pass to Diggs to get that final drive started was awesome. But he ran twice after that.
Yep.
And I don't know, maybe practicing full, not limited anymore. I don't want to assume they're completely out of the woods on that, but I'm guessing you get the full Josh Allen experience on Thursday against New England. Like, I'm expecting to see him run on purpose, not just scramble against the Patriots. Like, I think it's December, you know, it's time.
It's the pancake breakfast.
And I think it lines up with, you know, maybe it's been a few weeks here, and, you know, he's played 3 games. And maybe the thing, you know, they've taken their time with him in practice and limited his throwing, and maybe it's improved enough where they're about it. But I'm expecting the full Josh Allen.
Mike is next. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey guys, thanks for picking me up. I don't have a lot of people to talk about football to, so every once in a while it's nice just to jump in. I'll justify everything that I'm. Justify everything I'm about to say by saying I'm an idiot. I never played in high school. I use the same four plays in Madden and win every week. Like, I don't know anything about play calling. So I don't know. But it feels like, and I think Bulldog, you said this a second ago, although you're much smarter at all this than I am, it just feels like it's harder. Like, it doesn't, I was watching that Jets game this week. You know, the incompletions are tight coverage, but a lot of those incompletions that White makes, guys are, they're just open. Like, there isn't anybody within 3 or 4 yards. I got an alert. It's like Mike Love throws this, is that his first name, in Green Bay? Love throws a 67-yard touchdown. I'm like, wow, like Twitter's making a big deal of this, and I jumped on. There isn't 10 yards, and nobody's within 10 yards of the guy who catches the ball. It's a 15-yard dump-off. He gets the angle on all the defenders and runs for 50 yards. Like, I'm not seeing a lot of that out of our
– Well,
we've got the skill guys.
There's a simple – there's a one-word answer to all this, and using your examples and what you're seeing from the Bills, and the word is speed. Christian Watson runs in the 4.2s. Like, he was a track star for Green Bay. Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, the jet plays you're talking about. These are first-round picks, second-round picks, and the Bills don't. I mean, they signed John Brown back. They have consciously sort of prioritized other things more. It's not just like you can snap your fingers and have Garrett Wilson. But, like, those guys, they could have had Christian Watson. Like, those guys are burners. And the Bills really, who's their fastest guy?
Naheem Hines
is their fastest
Hines and
guy.
Cook. They went running back for speed.
That's right.
Can you scheme that out? Like, there's got to be a difference between, you know, nobody within 10 yards and nobody within. I mean, Josh Allen has the arm, he has the talent. If you give him 2 or 3 yards of separation, that's the difference between an easy completion and a Bills offense. Like, again, I don't know. It looks like that, but I mean,
well,
maybe I'm paranoid. Listen, I've been a Bills. I was born in 86. I lost bags of chips in grade 4 bets on all 4 Super Bowls. I've been a fan since then. You know, I've watched them go 5-2, 5-1, and then the doors. I'm confident. The team looks good, but I'm a little scared. Like, we're a little scared.
Yep. No, gotcha, Mike. Thank you. Bengals, we're talking a lot about the Bengals the last 2 days. I mean, that receiving core, Chase is one of the best, you know, there is. Higgins is right there. Sam Monson mentioned Higgins. Like, that's a great player who was there before Chase. And, you know, even Boyd, like, I don't know. I hope people, if they care enough to pay attention, like, for me, that's always where I've wanted to see this team do more. For all the credit they've gotten, and they've deserved it, they still just have not really gone after it at wide receiver. To my satisfaction, Diggs trade is going after it at wide receiver, you know, and Beasley and Brown before Diggs were smart, calculated moves that worked great. Davis was he's good, but was never anybody's like wow player, not on the same level, in my opinion, as these other guys. Nope. And McKenzie part-time, Shakir fifth round, Crowder wasn't really good. He just played a certain kind of way and then he got hurt anyway. So that's really John Brown again, like,
right. I mean, it's entirely fair to say they met the John Brown signing is like an admittance of guilt that you missed that receiver this year. The Crowder injury impacts that, of course, like you said, but to be a Jamison Crowder injury away from the thing toppling, that doesn't seem sound.
We'll take a break here. Sal joins us at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. We are back. Sal Capaccio joins at, well, just after 5, after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Bills, Patriots, Thursday night. The Sabres are home Thursday night, by the way, against Colorado, of all teams.
Who booked that? Yeah,
tough one.
That is a tough one. I mean, I really would be curious to see this team play one of the best teams in the league like they did last night. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, 7 o'clock starts. I mean, you get a good
That's
period,
right.
period and a half in.
Half the game.
Yeah.
Stay home, record the Bills, but then stay off Twitter and just watch the Bills after the Sabre game is over as long as the Sabres are in it. They play tomorrow night, too, in Detroit, and then are home to the Avalanche on Thursday.
Tough scheduling, I'd say.
Yeah, a little bit. For the fans. Here right. is, and the Sabres, maybe. Here is Zach with us. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
Sure. This might be a little bit of a moot point, I suppose, because it doesn't really, I don't think it affects the game as a whole necessarily. But I was thinking about the Dallas Thanksgiving game this past Thanksgiving here. And if I remember correctly, John Brown threw a touchdown pass to Devin Singletary, I think, mm-hmm. in that game.
Yep.
And it kind of churned up my thoughts for this year. And I was curious, like, have they run many, if or any, trick plays at all this year? I think that feels like it might be something. A fraction of a thing. Doesn't complete the offense, but it's not something I feel like I've really seen much of this year.
I'm trying to think of any. There probably are a couple.
The closest I think they've come to something that looked out of the ordinary is the play where Allen pitched it to McKenzie at the goal line against Kansas City.
And he fumbled.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And, you know, I think Sal, I think, is among others, said, like, that McKenzie wasn't expecting that. It wasn't supposed to go to him, and Allen just sort of improvised. So I don't know if that probably doesn't really qualify. Certainly not a wide receiver option pass. I can't think of one, and I'll admit it's not something that I sit around thinking about.
Well, trick plays have a bad reputation. When they work, they're fun. It's a lot like a lot of other things in football. People are just kind of waiting to crush you if it fails. Mm-hmm. Like a failed trick play is embarrassing, and fans line up and the media line up to sort of hammer you for what are you doing? Why get cute? It's getting cute
just
when
it
fails.
Off.
When it works, it's amazing. Yeah. The Chiefs, speaking of the Chiefs again, but who was the receiver? There was a play against the Rams. Mahomes threw it out to the right, but a lateral, and then leaked himself to the left. The guy, I don't remember who it was.
I don't remember either, but I saw this play. Yeah.
The guy threw it all the way back across the field, also a lateral to Mahomes, who then threw to Kelsey in the end zone. Missed. It was late. He was like a second late. Yep. But that was the play. Not just like a pitch out and then a just no. He threw a lateral and then the other guy threw it all the way back to him. Mahomes caught it, and this was a little bit late converting with Kelce there. You know, that didn't work. With these great quarterbacks, you've got to have – I'm sort of feeling Zach here, the caller. Like, you want to have an appetite for more of that and be willing to – you know, it's about being creative, right? Isn't that kind of like the word here right now with Ken Dorsey and the Bills is like creativity? Dable with the motion and the play action, and that's not – it's a certain base level, but also like, oh, where's the halfback passing to the wide receiver and all these other different things? It's got to work or else it's, you know, it looks – it's remembered if it doesn't work.
Right. It's a lot – if you give it away, you're going to get bashed. If you don't, it's just sort of like, that was a lot of trouble to go through for an incompletion.
Remember the play in a game in the 90s against Denver where Andre Reed in overtime threw a long pass?
Uh-huh.
And you were on the radio then. I was in the media then. And I remember this. Like, every sports writer I knew was all like, oh, terrible timing. Why? I mean, you win the game if you convert that play. It just wasn't executed. It didn't work. So, I don't know. Like, go for it. Go win the game. That's what going for fourth downs is. That's what going for two is. Go win the game. But there's like just the base football mindset is like, what if it fails?
Yeah.
And, you know, if it fails, it does. You didn't do it right.
Yeah.
Or the other team made a play against you. That happens in sports.
That was in the rain, or it was slippery. There was something more than – it was just like, why? I hated that play.
Yeah. It was hateable. It was hateable.
Yeah.
But I just want to stick up for, you know, go win the game. Do something different. That's what Zach's here saying. Like, where's the different?
Did that game also feature, like, the definitive last, like, moment where the Bills fans had any faith in Todd Collins?
Maybe.
Keith Traylor with a fumble recovery or something, and Collins just could not handle trying to tackle that man.
I remember it for the Reed pass. I remember it for how I got lectured in the press box for sitting in the wrong seat and banished to the back room. And I remember it for how Denver didn't have any media there because it snowed in Denver and they barely made it. I think that's all the same game.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I remember anything about Todd Collins at all, even.
If Collins was the Bills quarterback that season, that's the play I'm thinking.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's right, actually. Sal next. Sorry we're late here. We'll take a break and have Sal on. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.